I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And we've got all kinds of juicy goodies today. We have a special counsel now in the Hunter Biden saga, I guess I should call it. The future of American cities. The New York Times collaborating with the government to target Orthodox Jews. Told you this was coming. Asked Dr. Jesse questions on everything from Ukraine to when I sunk that boat. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to try to get the news out of the way first so we can get on to the questions, which is what today is supposed to be about. But let's deal with this. Special counsel. David Weiss, whatever, who cares? This was Merrick Garland today.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters.
Could you imagine working around Merrick Garland every day and having to live with that voice? Am I the only one who finds that to be the worst voice in the world? It's almost like, what, Michael? Oh, yeah, taking orders from him. Oh, it would be unbearable. Listen to this. I'm sorry, it's odd.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters.
Yeah, here's what this means. One, David Weiss is a complete political hack who intentionally ran the Hunter Biden investigation like a total idiot because he was trying to get Hunter Biden out of all that trouble. Remember, he was the one. Remember, it was the DOJ. This Hunter Biden deal blew up. The DOJ was trying to work in blanket immunity for Hunter Biden's future crimes, too. And that's why the deal blew up. The judge looked at it and said, wait, what is this? And the judge said, no. So what does this mean? Well, here's the only thing this really means. Here's what you need to take from this today. Joe Biden is in real trouble. I told you this was coming, didn't I? He's in real trouble, political trouble. Once you get the official special counsel looking into it, even though it's the guy who was already looking into it, what that does is it makes this something news outlets cannot ignore. I think, again, you know my theory, so maybe I'm just looking at everything that way, reinforcing my own theory that Joe Biden's going to step down. So Gavin Newsom, who they really want, can step in. It's just a theory, but it's my theory. I think this is the beginning of that. That's what I think. I think they're going to go sit down with Joe. I think they're going to tell him, Joe, this is real. We can make these problems go away for the most part. Hunter Biden might have to do a year or two in the clink, but we can make your problems go away. But we're going to need you to step down. We can't have any more of this.
There's a lot of good that's going to come from the sacrifices of dealing with taking on the climate crisis.
He's not a good spokesman for communism. So they're going to move on. Anyway, that's that. Now, I want to do something a little different. I want to point out something that we've talked about before, but it's something we have to be aware of. There's a way of thinking that the federal government, the FBI, DOJ, all these places, that they're against Christians, against Christianity, or against just Catholics or something like that. Now, don't get me wrong. They are very much against Christianity. They are. But they're actually against any organized religion that preaches normal values, normalcy. And let me explain something. this LGBTQ filth that has taken over America. It's taken over so much more than America. It's taken over all the governments of the West. The governments. We're not talking about a push by Bud Light here. We're not talking about a tranny on a beer can. We are talking foreign policy now is LGBTQ everything. Everything is in the U.S. of gay. Remember, we soured our relationship with the Japanese because we sent Rahm Emanuel over there and he wouldn't stop gaying the place up. The entire world is watching what we do. The international community, as we speak, is cracking down on Uganda. Why? Is it child slaves or something? Nope. Uganda passed an anti-gay law. Hey, no gay stuff here. Boom. The world came down on them like they have concentration camps like North Korea does. Our Middle Eastern former allies at this point in time are all souring on us because we won't stop trying to gay the place up. We fly the rainbow flags from the embassies. Any religion that speaks out against that is now an enemy of the government and will be targeted by the system as a whole, not just the government. You want Exhibit A? Orthodox Jews. I don't know how much you know about Judaism. I'm certainly not the expert, obviously. But I know a little bit about it a little bit, and I've got enough Jewish buddies to know. Orthodox Jews, you know how Jews, two-thirds of Jews in America will vote Democrat? Not the Orthodox ones, baby. Not the Orthodox ones at all. They're very, very traditional. They have very traditional views of family. The government is never going to stand for that. This is coming for Islam here in America, too. You're already seeing that those clashes. Headline. Emails show the New York Times collaborating with the state government of New York to target Orthodox Jews. The New York Times, the largest newspaper, I think, in the world. I know it's the largest in the country. The largest newspaper in the country collaborated with the government of New York to go after Orthodox Jews. The future of the West is going to be an increased hostility and tension between Western governments, Western media, the systems of the West, and the organized religions of the West. Now, here's what cannot happen under any circumstances. The organized religions of the West, Orthodox Jews, Christians, Catholics, Mormons, everybody, and I realize that I probably offended 20 people because a lot of people consider that. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're offended. Just listen. We cannot ignore this. And we cannot sit this out. If we want a government that is no longer hostile to us, we must engage in politics and fight back. We must wade into it. No more fluffy puffy sermons. No more above all that. No more, we don't vote Republican or Democrat. It's just love here. No. If you want to avoid having a country where Christians and Orthodox Jews have to have their religious services in a basement with the windows blacked out for fear of arrest, if you want to avoid that future that absolutely will come eventually, you must engage now. All of us. We must get involved. 50% participation by the evangelical church in voting, that is pathetic. It is a disgrace. And look, I'm nobody's pastor and I'm not qualified to be one. Dare I say it? That's friggin' sinful. You've been gifted this incredible land and you have so little appreciation for it, you can't go vote. Show up on Sunday, every Sunday, worship songs, listen to the pastor, woohoo, take communion. You can't get up for one Tuesday a year and go vote? That's pathetic. And everybody has to do better. So, look, this goes well beyond Jews in New York. But again, the Orthodox community in New York has got to engage and get involved and fight back. And I'm honestly, maybe this is, I don't know why this is, I'm more hopeful that Jews will step up and get involved and push back because of the horrible history of the religious persecutions they've had to go through in more places than just Germany in the 30s, right? This has been their existence. So I would think they would be primed and ready to go to fight back. I know the Muslims are gonna. Frankly, I'm a little concerned about my people. I don't know. What, Chris? You know the Muslims are gonna. The Muslims ain't taking that at all. They're not taking that at all. I'm a little concerned about the Christians. All right? I hope we have what it takes around here. Chris, I'll be outside your synagogue cheering for you, Chris. Go, Chris! All right. Now, let's deal with one other thing. Because I want to get to all the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, and I have a bunch of other stuff I want to get to. You know, I like to do the same stuff you like to do. I like to game out in my head, not where we are, not just this individual headline or this or that. I like to, where are we going? Where are we going? I saw this headline about fell out of my chair, speaking of New York. The average Manhattan rent just hit $5,588 a month. $5,588 a month for rent in an apartment. And I just kind of sat back and I thought to myself, what? How can a normal person, that doesn't, and I think I have a good idea of where this is going. And I will explain that in just a moment. Before I get to that, let's do something healthy. No, not for ourselves. Forget about us. Let's take care of our dogs. No, we have to do both. But you get nutrition, right? You eat your fruits or vegetables, and vegetables are disgusting, but you eat them anyway, don't you? Because your body needs them. You're a living organism. You need them. Your dog needs nutrition the same way you do. He does not get it from his food. We have to give him nutrition a different way. Rough Greens, all natural nutritional supplement, pour it on the food. All the vitamins and minerals he needs. Omega oils, digestive enzymes. It's not just some mystery what it does. You will see a difference in your dog. His coat, his energy, his health. It's awesome. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and get a free jumpstart trial bag. All you pay for is the shipping, or call them 833-33-MY-DOG. Give your dog nutrition the same way you give yourself nutrition, all right? The future of cities. And then Ask Dr. Jesse. Next.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. I love that song, Chris. That's a great song. I'm the one who added that to the list, right? You guys didn't add it. Well, I just wanted to point out that that was mine. This is another one of mine, not the lousy crap you guys play. Anyway, it is The Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Now, the future of cities, because I was talking before, if you missed before the break, average rent in Manhattan is $5,588 a month. I think there are going to be essentially citadels in cities. You know what a citadel is? Chris, Michael, you guys know what a citadel is? For people who don't, if you have, think of an old fortified city with walls around the outside, that kind of thing. Somewhere in the city, usually towards the center, there would be a citadel. And what that is, it's essentially a castle, a fortified castle in the city. So if the hordes show up and they take over the city and they're marching through, your last stand would be held at the citadel. Everyone would collapse on the citadel and you would try to fight it out there. There would be walls and all kinds of things there. A citadel. I think the future of American cities, I think they're going to have citadels. Now, not with actual walls and stuff like that, but here's what I mean. I've been reading a lot of stories lately about how these people are tired of this happening in this neighborhood, and they're hiring private security. Private citizens are getting together, and they're hiring private security companies, private security groups. The people with means will not live without end amongst violent crime. Because when you have a bunch of money, where do you live? Wherever you want to live. That's the truth of it. Why do people move to the suburbs? Why do they move to the suburbs? Because it's safer. That's why. Rich people, as cities like New York descend, rich people are not just going to stay there and be abused. They're not going to risk their wife being robbed on the way down to the bodega. They're not going to risk these things. So they're going to begin fortifying their specific little areas. Outside of those areas, it will continue to descend and turn into a nightmare. I think citadels are going to be part of our future. Isn't that nuts to think about? Isn't that completely nuts to think about? But I think that's what it's going to be. You'll just be wading through all kinds of filth, and then you'll come to this little two or three block section where it's really, really lovely. Wow, look at that. Not even any litter. And then boom, right back into hell. That's what I think is coming. All right. Let's get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I am going to play some of this Tucker Carlson stuff. Tucker Carlson sat down with the former chief of the Capitol Police. Yeah. Boy, did he have some eye-opening things to say. But let's get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions first. Shogun. Biden just asked Congress for $24 billion more for Ukraine and a whole gigantic $4 billion for our border security. After, of course, he broke the border. How will any Republican vote for this ongoing money laundromat in Ukraine and vote essentially against America's own security? We all know at least 60% of our aid to Ukraine is lining pockets. What say you? How will any Republican vote for it? Well, let's have a hard talk, shall we? I'm guilty of this too, so I'm not pointing fingers. We oftentimes will take something we want and we will pretend like it exists, especially if it's something important to us. And I'm not talking about an imaginary friend like Chris probably has or something. I'm talking about we want to believe. You want to believe, I want to believe that there is real, genuine opposition to the communists and the destruction of this country. We want to believe it. Even in the times when we get mad and yell at the Republicans and the low-T GOPers and we get mad and we tell them to do something, we still, deep down, we want to believe at least they're kind of on our side. Yeah, maybe they screw up sometimes, but they're obviously not as bad as Democrats are. Let's have a talk. Let's go back to COVID before we get to Ukraine. Let's go back to COVID. Here's a common thing I hear all the time on the right. When we talk about COVID, when we talk about COVID restrictions, you'll hear them lambaste every Democrat they can find. Joe Biden's a tyrant. Oh, can you believe Andrew Cuomo killed 15,000 New Yorkers? Oh, remember when they all pushed that vaccine on you and it turned out it gave a lot of people heart problems? Those Democrats suck. Republicans were either accomplices or the flat-out authors of as many COVID restrictions in this country as Democrats were. They were. I don't care if that makes you mad. We have to acknowledge what's real. We do. 15 days to slow the spread was not started by President Joe Biden. I'm here in Texas. Our governor, Greg Abbott, is just Republican. Red Texas Republican. They were sending SWAT teams to dive bars here in Texas that dared to open up and serve people beers. It was a year into COVID, and Abbott was still telling people what percentage of their restaurant they were allowed to fill up before they could eat. People think, aha, crazy New York, what trash. Republicans were garbage. I remember them all lining up with their masks doing press conferences. They weren't anti-mask, stupid cloth mask that never did anything. Republicans were some of the biggest proponents of it. Republicans, they authored so much of this now. And that brings us to the border. And it brings us to this Ukraine stuff. And I'll get to that in a minute.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm going to get to this Capitol Police Chief interview. He sat down with Tucker. We're going to play you a little bit of that here in just a minute, but I want to answer this question. The guy was asking about 24 more billion for Ukraine, only 4 billion for our border. How many Republicans will vote for this nonsense? The last time there was a major Ukraine bill that came through the United States Senate, it passed 99-1. Almost every single Republican, yes vote. Republicans wore the masks. Republicans bragged about how vaccinated they were. Republicans joined with Democrats at the end of last year to pass a gigantic $1 trillion plus spending bill for all of their friends. Republicans did all that. We have lied to ourselves and continue to lie to ourselves because we were clinging to we want to cling to hope, and hope is a good thing, but we lie to ourselves and we say these guys are on our side, or at least not quite as bad, but the truth is Republicans have enabled all of this, all of it. Why don't they care about the border? Republicans don't care about the border at all. The traditional way that the Republican donors and moderates and D.C. Republicans have operated is they want the border as open as Democrats do. I remember back when I was running for Congress, it was a huge deal to the major donors in my state that I was so tough on the border. That was a border state, Arizona, and they didn't like it that I was a border hawk. Build wall, deport them all, that kind of thing. They were aghast at that. The Republicans were. We lie to ourselves, and we do it. I know why we do it, right? You want more hope. It gives you more hope, but we lie to ourselves. Why won't we ask this question all the time? Why won't Republicans step in? Why don't they step in? Because they're on the same friggin' team. That's why. Now, before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, I do want to go over this because it is huge, huge. January 6th. Keep in mind, we know there were multiple people on January 6th who were loud instigators who have not been pursued by law enforcement. We know that. We know that for a fact. You can watch video of it. I'm not guessing. I'm not going off of what someone else said. I've seen all the video of it. My buddy Nick Searcy has actually a great movie on this on January 6th, and if you want to know some real truth there. The FBI has been asked repeatedly, how many people did you have in the crowd on January 6th? They will not answer the question. They refuse to answer the question. Now, what happened on January 6th? Was this a massive Fed op? Was this a federal operation to make the right look bad and justify sending the FBI after patriots, thousands of patriots for years? Well, the former Capitol Police Chief sat down with Tucker. I had a couple things to say.
Big picture, just to restate, you've seen many things like this, and as you just said, this was very different. This was handled very differently. By whom?
By the intelligence. I'd say one, by the intelligence agency. Two, by the military. So the reason why I say the military, think of this.
The intelligence agencies treated this different. People have pointed out many times, rightfully so, all the protests and violent riots that happened in and around D.C. on Capitol Hill in the past, never has there been a response like this. Huh. Wonder why that is. Let's let him say something else.
Wait. So the military says we're so concerned about potential imminent violence that we are considering shutting down the city. But at the very same time, they decide that the National Guard can't adopt an aggressive posture to protect the city.
They're deploying because they're going to be deploying National Guard to assist Washington, D.C. with crowd control at metros and some of the traffic control areas. But they put this out on January 4th, specific to January 5th and 6th. And this direction affected the National Guard in Virginia and Maryland. When I was calling, begging for assistance on January 6th, they weren't allowed to respond at first. You look at Governor Hogan. He did a press conference saying he was begging to respond, and he was being denied by the Pentagon, all because of the memo.
Denied by the Pentagon. So you have this nasty little protest on January 6th that pops off. National Guard's ready to be deployed, sitting there ready and waiting. The Pentagon says, nah, stay away. And we know the intelligence agencies, as you just heard, treated this differently. It's almost, and I sure don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, but it almost seems like the intelligence agencies caused this entire thing to justify using their power against their political enemies. Huh. It sure has worked out that way, because for 2 years now, we've had the FBI tracking down Meemaw all across the country and throwing her in a dark hole. And then what do? Every time they do it, every time they brag publicly about it. Hey, we hunted down this guy. You might be next. Trying to silence, trying to intimidate American citizens. Yep. You can firmly count me in the, it was at least partially a fed up camp. That's what I believe. I will believe it till my dying day. There are too many unexplainable things that get explained when you simply say it was a federal operation. The second you say that, everything makes sense. That's why you reject the National Guard. That's why you have instigators on camera who have not been arrested the way people who did far less have been arrested. We even know their names. We know where they live. FBI, not even interested in them. The only explanation is the federal government, the Pentagon, FBI, DOJ, probably CIA, NSA. They wanted something to happen on January 6th. And they wanted it to happen so they could justify turning their guns on you. This goes back to what I say all the time, what we always have to remember. That is the goal. The goal is to make you an enemy of the state so they can use their force against you. That is the goal of all of them now. And everything they do is designed with that in mind. How do I make my political opponents enemies of the state so I can justify sending government guns against them? That's why they do what they do. That's why Joe Biden gave that dark speech that night. You remember that speech where he stood there in the dark with the two Marines behind him and the weird, creepy red lighting in the back. And he talked over and over again about threats to democracy, trying to shatter democracy, trying to end democracy. And the next day, Corinne Diversity Hire was asked why the Marines were at such a speech, such a political speech, why the Marines were there. And you remember what Corinne Diversity Hire said in that moment? Well, they're the defenders of democracy. You see, once you become the enemy of democracy, once you become an enemy of the state, well, that gives these people the justification they need to turn to a battalion of Marines and say, go get them. Hey, aren't you here to defend democracy? These people have a goal in mind. Everything they do is with that goal in mind. Remember this about the American communist. The American communist has had to fight a different way. He's had to make it much more cultural than the communists of the past, because that's where our malcontents were, in the cultural areas. However, the American communist looks at the past. He looks at things like Stalin's NKVD. He looks at these communist regimes in the past that had total power to just annihilate anybody who made them mad without any rules or restrictions, and our communists are envious of it. They don't look at these things, these historical things, in horror. Our communists, our Democrats look at them and say, gosh, I would kill for that. Just give me that power. Let me send the army after my political opponents. Just let me arrest all of them. That's what they long for. All right, enough. You have to get to more Ask Dr. Jesse questions about sinking a boat and other things. One thing you're going to need if you ever sink a boat, you're going to need testosterone. Right? Because when you sink a boat, especially when you sink it in the middle of a gigantic river, you are in quite a pickle and you have got to work your way out of that pickle. And if you are a low T weenie, you'll never be able to do it. But if you are on a male vitality stack from Chalk, you might just walk across the water to the shore. I'm not sure exactly what all it does, but I do know that testosterone is everything for men. We really do need it. It's about more than just making babies, fellas. It's about how your mind works. It's about your mood. It's about your focus. 90 days. Give me 90 days with the Male Vitality Stack from Chalk, and then you email me and you tell me how you feel. Ladies, do the same thing with the Female Vitality Stack. You ready to be full of pep at 3 in the afternoon instead of full of coffee? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, gets you 35% off subscriptions. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't worry, we still have more than 2 hours to go. We're churning and burning. You can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, a few years ago, you told us about sinking a boat in a river. I'm heading to Glacier this weekend for some trout fishing and a six-day backpacking trip. Question I need answered. Was the boat ever recovered? You told us the outcome. You never told us the outcome. I thought I could attempt a recovery. Okay. First of all, here's the story for those who missed it. I was a kid, not super young. I was a teenager for sure. Probably, I would guess, 14, 15, I would guess. And me and my old man and a family friend of ours, so three dudes, we decided we were going to go fishing on the Madison River in Montana. Now, it wasn't our boat, my old man's and mine. It was our friend's boat. And we did not know what kind of boat he had before we got to the river. I want to stress this. We were not aware of the boat situation. And I remember, like it was yesterday, the look on my dad's face when we pull into the parking lot right by where we're going to put into the river to go fishing. And he looks at that boat and he says, all three of us are going to be in that boat? It's not a big boat, all right? Now, you're going to find out why that's a problem here in a minute. So we hop into this boat. And for those of you who've never done it, fishing a river, it's a blast. You have to be aware you're going to probably lose some hooks when you fish a river, because what happens is you just put out into the river. And if you don't have a trolling motor or anything like that, you just float. We didn't have anything. It was oars, right? We were just using oars. And you just get out in the middle of the river and you just float. And you're just casting the whole time. Hopefully you're catching fish. The problem is when you get a snag, you're pulling away from it the whole time. So you lose your hook a lot, but it's fine. So we all three get into this boat. And this boat keeps sinking and sinking and sinking as everyone gets in it. And by the time it's done sinking, I'm trying to do this from memory. I want to say there were 4 or 5 inches, maybe, between the edge of the boat and the water level. That's how deep we've sunk into the river, okay? Now, this is the moment when you're dealing with water and boats and stuff like that. This is the moment where, pardon the pun, you want to cut bait. You don't do that. Don't get in a boat like that. But we were there, we wanted to go fishing, and off we went, and whoop, on down the river we go. And we're having a good time. We're fishing, we're fishing, we're fishing. And then, wham, I catch one, or I hook one, I should say. And it's, you could tell right away, I'd done enough fishing by that point in time. It was nice. It was a nice one. And everyone's excited. You got to be careful how much you move around in a boat that small with the water level thing. So everyone's excited, but we're all being smart about it. They reel in their lines because you're going to have to try to net this thing when it gets in. And we're going and going and going. But because my pole's about bent in half. My fishing rod's about bent in half. So you know this thing's big, and that's increasing the excitement. I'm telling them it's a big one, and we're reeling it in. And so what happens is there were 3 men in the boat and 0 men paying attention to the floating situation. After all, it was this big open river. It's the Madison River. It's a big open river in Montana. Lo and behold, we turn just in time to see the boat. Now, the boat is floating down the river. I need to point this out sideways. That's important for you to understand. So the front of the boat is facing one shore and the back of the boat's facing the other shore. You understand what I mean? It's floating sideways. We happen to find a rock in the river that was all the way submerged, but only a couple inches below the waterline. So it didn't stick out. So we couldn't see it coming away far away. But obviously, it was up there close enough to the surface of the water to stop the boat. This is a fast-flowing river full of glacier water and mountain runoff water, I might point out. This is frigid water. The boat hits the rock. Because the water level is so close to the edge of the boat, boom, full of water instantly. It was immediate. Think about all the water flowing down a river. It's immediate. The boat goes down, and the three of us are now in the middle of the Madison River. Our tackle boxes are floating down the river, and it's a fast-flowing river, so we've lost those. We know we're never getting to those. We're all kind of doing the because the water's so daggone cold, you're having trouble breathing. I still have a fish on the line, and I'm not letting it go because it's a monster. So I'm kind of half swimming, half walking across the great glacier water to get to the shore with my old man and our family friend, and I finally get to the shore, and I'm soaking wet, and I'm freezing, but I don't care. I'm getting this fish in. I'm at least getting a daggone beautiful fish out of this thing, and I get that fish 15 feet from the shore, and pop, line goes snap, fish gone. That is what happened with the boat. I never did lay eyes on it, Chris. No, I never did. I can't. I never did lay eyes on it. That I recall. If I did, I don't remember laying eyes on it. But no, it was. Look, it was a nice fish. Whatever was on there was a really nice fish. But it's gone now. And the answer to your question is, we did not ever recover the boat. I'm not sure how. I'm sure there's a million boat guys who will know. I'm not sure how you would recover that boat. It's at the bottom of the river with fast flowing water over it. I'm sure you could get heavy equipment or something out there and get it up. But look, this is not a boat you want to recover anyway, Brady. Just trust me on this. It's not a boat you want to recover. Do you hear Chris Christie about Ukraine?
Actually, Ukraine is the undercard. It's the undercard because the Chinese who are funding the Russian aggression against Ukraine are watching. And if we cut and run on Ukraine, the next fight is going to be in Taiwan.
And he said this too.
We heard a lot of support. Two-thirds of the audience that I had was very supportive of my position on Ukraine, which is that we haven't done enough.
Remember what we just talked about? How the parties are the same? The parties are the same. Like I got this Ask Dr. Jesse question. Why are all these Republicans not working together? They are working together with the Democrats. That's the problem. That's why I yell so much about primaries. We have so much work to do in primaries. Primaries are what we have neglected. 20% participation in primaries. Democrats, 50. Why has their party turned into the Communist Party and our party's still just limp-wristed and pathetic? They care about their primaries. They show up and they vote for their communists. We don't. We show up and vote for the same rhino loser we see on Fox News every night. And until we change that, nothing else changes. All right. We're going to talk a lot next hour about ways we can fight this culture war, different Ask Dr. Jesse questions. You might even bring up civil war. That's always spicy and fun. So here's what you need to do to prep for that. You need to go get some Giza dream sheets from MyPillow. How, you may be asking, is that going to possibly help you prep for next hour? Well, when you deal with heavy things like civil war and smoking brisket, it helps when you know at the end of the day you get to crawl into the greatest freaking sheets in the history of mankind, because Giza is the world's best cotton. Everybody knows that. And of course, Mike Lindell, genius that he is, makes the greatest sheets out of them. And right now, lowest price ever, as low as $29.98. with the promo code Jesse. You have to go to MyPillow.com. And listen, this part is important. I get emails sometimes you miss this part. At MyPillow.com, you have to click on the radio listener special square. Then you use promo code Jesse, and that's how you get the discount. Some of you are missing the discount because you're not hitting the square. Got to hit the square. MyPillow.com, radio listener special square, promo code Jesse, or you can call them. Then you don't have to hassle with all these squares. 800-845-0544. Two more hours left. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.